Morning. Good to be here this morning, gathered together in worshiping our God and Father in heaven. We have visitors in our audience this morning. We're really happy to see each one of you, and hopefully that you'll have a good worship service with us this morning. As we think back of last week's service, last Sunday afternoon, we spent the hour singing praises in song to God. We had a really good service that Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning, Ryan talked to us about the importance of spiritual songs in our worship service. And most of you know singing spiritual songs is probably one of the most wonderful things that I do. I really enjoy singing spiritual songs. But that being said, as far as music goes, I'm not much of a music person. If it's not a spiritual song, I'm probably not listening to it very much. I never listen to music unless it's in my car. And that's normally just because I have the radio on. If you want to have a music trivia team, don't have me on that team. I don't know names of songs. I don't know the names of the artists of the songs. I don't know the lyrics in the songs. I'm pretty much a musical dud. So I say that this morning in order to say what I want to say in this lesson today. As I said, I do listen to music in my car. Most of the time if I have music on at all, it's turned to a country station. That's just the station it's turned to. Most of the time I'm not paying any attention to the song, the lyrics, nothing about the song. It's just noise coming out of the radio. But there's one particular song that's been out for probably a year now that every single time I hear that song, every single time I hear the lyrics of that song, it gets my attention. And that's so unusual for me because, like I said, I'm not a music person. But this particular song gets my attention. The name of the song is Heaven. And the song is like any other country song. It's about a guy singing and talking about his love and his life and how much he loves her. But it's the lyrics of this song that really gets me. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The lyrics, this particular lyrics go over and over in this song. And the lyrics go like this. Everyone's talking about heaven like they can't wait to go, saying how it's going to be so good, so beautiful. Lying next to you in this bed with you, I ain't convinced because I don't know how heaven could be better than this. This song just gets me every single time I hear it because there's two different parts in this lyrics that really get my attention. The first part is the last part because I don't know how heaven could be better than this. When I think of those lyrics, I think of the vast majority of people that live in this world. And this is really their theme song. This is how they live their life. They simply think that this life on this earth is better than anything heaven could ever possibly offer. They're perfectly satisfied in this life. They're perfectly happy in this life. They're not looking for anything else over and above this life. The attractions of this world and the attractions of the things of this world have always been one of Satan's greatest deceptions. And it continues to be so. The Bible talks about this. In James 4 and verse 4, James says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And then in 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So when I see those words in a song and listen to those words in a song, I think about how much the world is deceived by Satan. But the world is not the only ones that is deceived. Even children of God become deceived by the world and the pleasures of the world and the attractiveness of the world. Just because someone becomes a Christian, just because someone becomes a child of God, doesn't mean that they're exempt from this temptation. This temptation remains with us for all of our lives, and we need to be on guard about that. But what I really want to talk about this morning is the first part of this lyrics. The first part of the lyrics says, everyone's talking about heaven like they just can't wait to go, saying how it's going to be so good, so beautiful. I know that I'm not like the person at the end of this lyrics, that I'm thinking this earth is better than heaven. I'm not that person. But I'm also not convinced all the time that I'm like the person at the beginning of the lyrics. Am I really a person that can't wait for heaven to come, that thinks heaven is so beautiful, that thinks heaven is so good that I just can't wait for heaven to come? So that's what I want to talk about this morning, and that's what we'll be talking about the remainder of the lesson. I want to be that type of person. I want to be that person where I talk about heaven and I'm anxious to go there. And I'm sure in this audience this morning, most if not all of you want to be that type of person also. So I want to just spend just a few minutes with us this morning simply talking about heaven. I have five reasons that I want to go to heaven. And when you see these reasons, I'm sure you can add several more to that. It's certainly not an exhaustive list, but this is at least five different reasons that I want to go to heaven this morning. The first reason is that when you look at the complexity of the world in which we live, when you look at, even though the world is so complex, look at the order of the world. Terribly complex, but there's order there. When you look at our bodies, how they are perfectly suited for the environment we live in, for the world we live in. When you factor in all these things, it is literally impossible not to believe in God, not to believe in God the Creator. God is the Creator. God has made all of this. God has made us. Not only has God made all of this, not only has God made us, but at the same time, the Bible teaches that not only is God our Creator, but God has given us instructions. God has given His mind through the Bible. And when we look at the Bible, we see that God tells us that there is life after this life. In John 5 and verse 28 and 29, Jesus says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Then 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The Bible plainly teaches that this life is not all there is for us. That our soul, even though our body will die at some point in time in this present life, our physical body, our soul lives on. Our soul will remain alive. Not only will our soul remain alive, but the Bible also teaches that this soul will be going to one of two destinations. The Bible talks about there being a heaven, and the Bible talks about there being a hell. Both of those are the destinations that our soul or our life after this life will go to. We read from John the 5th chapter, remember in verse 29, where it talks about those that have done good will go to a resurrection of life, but those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Turn over with me for a moment to 25th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 25. Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the judgment day. And then what happens after the judgment day? In Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then He goes on to say what will allow the righteous to go one way, what will prevent the evil ones going towards heaven. And He concludes in verse 46 where He says, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." I believe that there is life after this life. I believe that there is a heaven, and I believe there is a hell. I believe and I understand that I can choose whether to go to heaven or whether to go to hell. And that choice is based on the type of life that I live here. So one of the reasons I want to go to heaven is because I believe there is life after this life. And the life that I want is a life in heaven. Well, the next one is closely to the first reason. The second reason I want to go to heaven is because heaven is forever. Heaven is eternal. Heaven will last forever. When we try to define eternity, we just have a complete miss about that. It is impossible for us to define eternity. If I would ask all of y'all this morning, give me a definition of eternity, I would probably get 100 different definitions, because we have all in our own minds what eternity will be like. But the reality is, we have no clue what eternity will be like, because in our physical minds, we cannot understand the concept of eternity. We are constrained within time. Our whole life is guarded and contained within a period of time. When I was born at a specific time. I was born on September the 4th, 1951, at 10:51 a.m. Born at a specific time. When I die, my death certificate will give, once again, a very specific time. It'll give the year, it'll give the month, it'll give the day, it'll give the hour, and once again, it will give the minute of my death. Our whole life is like that. We're constrained and limited by time in this life. Everything we do is by time. We operate in a 24-hour period of time. No more, no less. When our 24 hours is up, that day is gone forever. We have to move into a new 24-hour constraint of time. Eternity isn't like that at all. Eternity isn't like that. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 18, Paul says, "We look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I want to go to heaven because heaven is going to be eternal. Hell is going to be eternal also. So our choice then, whether we choose heaven or whether we choose hell, will be an eternal choice. Our time there, and it's hard to describe anything without throwing time in there, but our existence there will be simply forever. If you can think in your own mind what the longest time that you can ever think about, when you compare that to heaven, when you compare that to eternity, eternity is much, much longer than that. I want to be in heaven forever. That's my desire. Well, third then, we can see that not only is there life after this world, not only is heaven forever, but third, heaven is a desirable place to go. Sometimes we move to a new area, town. Sometimes maybe we move to a new town. When we make moves like that, we normally have a checklist on things that we want to see in our new location. We might want to see that it has good schools in the area. We might want to see that it has a good hospital in the area. We might want to see that our house is an attractive house. We might want to see the neighborhood is kept up real nice. We might want to see that it's convenient to different stores, to grocery stores, to places like that. There's all sorts of things we want for something to be desirable for us. Well, heaven is a desirable place. Turn over with me to Revelations, the 21st chapter, Revelations 21. Heaven is desirable. Revelations 21, and the whole book of Revelation is John's vision that Christ gives him. And as he gets towards the end of Revelation, he starts talking about heaven. He talks to why he calls it the New Jerusalem. He calls it the new heaven and earth. But he's dealing with heaven. And of course, we all know Revelation is a very descriptive type, but still we can certainly get the idea of what heaven will be like. Look at verse 4 of chapter 21. John says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." John says in heaven, there won't be death any longer. Have you ever been to a funeral home? I'm assuming every single one of us have been to funeral homes. They're not pleasant places to be. They're not fun to go to. In heaven, no more funerals, no more funeral homes. Also, have you ever been sorrowful in this life? Been crying in this life? Have you ever had things not go your way in this life? Certainly we all have. In heaven, no mourning, no crying. And this is a good one. Have you ever been in pain? I'm thinking every single one of us have experienced or are now experiencing pain in this life. Heaven is desirable. No pain there in heaven. But he goes on to say in verse 18. In verse 18, he describes heaven as a city, as this magnificent, beautiful city, where he says in verse 18, "The walls are built with jasper, while the city is pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every type of jewel. The first is jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth crystal phase, the 11th jaspis, and the 12th amorous. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls, each of the gates made with a single pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold like transparent glass." Now we understand once again that John is speaking in figurative language, that we don't expect heaven to look literally like this. But we do get the image from John that heaven is going to be a magnificent place. It's going to be a beautiful place. Think about some of the most beautiful places that you've ever seen in this world. This world has just so many beautiful, wonderful places to see. Heaven will surpass all of those. Heaven is a desirable place to be. Well, not only is heaven desirable, fourth, heaven will be our home. When we think about home, lots comes to our mind. If you ever watched the movie The Wizard of Oz, and I imagine most of us probably have, if you remember at the end of that movie where Dorothy is waking up from her dream that she's had of this wonderful and mysterious and sometimes scary city of Oz, and when she wakes up and sees her uncle and sees her Aunt Em, she hugs them and says, "It's so good to be home. Nothing like home." And that's the way we are. When those of us that are still working, when I'm done with my work day, I'm ready to go home. Have you ever been in the hospital? What do you ask the doctor over and over again? "Can I go home yet?" Even when we're on vacations and enjoying ourselves and having lots of time, lots of good times, at the end of our vacation, what do we say? It's so good to be home. It's so good to get home. I know in mother's perspective, she thinks home is the best thing in the world. She doesn't want to be anywhere but at her home. And we're all like that, though. Why is home so special? Why is home so important to us? Well, one reason is because we look at it as a place of rest. Our home is a place of rest. This is where we can relax. This is where we can be ourselves. But not only is our home a place of rest, it's a place of peace. That's where we can leave all the cares and all the stresses and all the troubles of the world and have a shelter from all of that. But not only that, our home is our happy place. We have it decorated like we want. We have our furniture like we want. We have our things in order like we want. We have our favorite possessions there at our home. Our home is our happy place. And then finally, our home is where our family and where love is. So certainly, as far as this life is concerned, we're excited to have a home. We're excited to go home. Heaven is the true home of a Christian. Heaven will be even much greater than the home we have on this earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 6. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Heaven will be a home of rest. Heaven will be a home of peace. Heaven will be a happy place. Heaven will be a place of family, and heaven will be a place where we can all love one another. Turn over with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, the great chapter, we call it the chapter of faith because it lists several Old Testament characters that were faithful people of God. But when we talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the author of Hebrews says, starting in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Our home is in heaven. My home is in heaven. Your home is in heaven, hopefully. That's where we want to be. That's where we'll be the most comfortable as we are in heaven. We think sometimes about Abraham. We think, well, of course, Abraham would be looking for a new home. He lived in a tent. But Abraham didn't live in just a little two-person pup tent with Sarah. Abraham was a rich man. Abraham was one of the richest men probably in his time. I'm sure Abraham's tent was a pretty nice tent. Carpets and wall hangings and anything he could put in his tent because he could certainly afford it. So Abraham wasn't looking for a home just to better himself physically, but he's looking for a home that he could have rest for all of eternity. Well, finally, the fifth reason that I want to go to heaven, and this is certainly the best reason, and I've kind of saved that one to last. I want to go to heaven because that is where God is. That's the dwelling place of God. Jesus told his disciples when his disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. We need to understand how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Well, Jesus started his prayer when he was teaching how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God is in heaven. Peter in 1 Peter, the third chapter, when he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus, Peter says, Jesus rose from the dead and he entered into heaven and now he sits on the right hand of God. God is in heaven. The dwelling place of God is heaven. Turn with me again back to Revelation. Revelation, the 21st chapter. Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3. Or we can start with verse 20 or verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. I want to go to heaven because that's where God is. I want to give God glory. I want to worship God. I want to praise God all the time. I want to see God face to face and see his glory. I want to thank God for creating me, for giving me a soul. I want to thank God for the gift of his Son. I want to thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit. I have lots to talk about with God. I have lots to praise God. And in order to do that, I have to be in heaven. I have to go to heaven. Randy, in his introductory remarks, talked a lot about heaven, or talked a lot about God in his description of God this morning. Don't you want to be near someone like that? Isn't that attractive to you? Isn't that meaningful to you? Certainly it is, as we all strive to go towards God. As we close this morning, I'd like to just read a passage from Revelations, the fourth chapter. Revelations 4, and Randy mentioned a verse from that chapter also. Revelations 4th chapter, and I know Ryan says all the time, this is my favorite verse, this is my favorite verse. Well, I'll tell you, this is one of my all-time past favorite passages in the entire Bible. It just gives me chills every time I read it. The throne scene in heaven, Revelation 4th chapter. So as I read this, try to picture yourself in this scene with the angels, with the winged creatures, with the elders talking to God. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard speak to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and cardigan. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in their garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which were the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. Around the throne, on each side of the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third like the face of a man, the fourth like eagle in flight. And these four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around and within, day and night, they never cease to say, and imagine us saying the same thing along with them, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whatever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and forever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and forever. They cast their crowns upon the throne, saying, once again, think of us being there saying this, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. That's the God that's in heaven. That's the God that I want to spend my eternity with. Two things that I've heard all my life about heaven. One is that if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. And that's certainly a true statement. The other statement I've heard is that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you preparing your life for heaven? Is that why you're living your life? Is that your purpose in life this morning, to live the type of life that will guarantee me a place in heaven with all the saints and with God? If we can help you in any of your spiritual needs this morning, we ask that you would come forward now as we stand and sing.